Welcome to episode 12 of Unraveling Karma, an evolutionary astrology podcast, to help you deepen self-understanding and make changes for the better. My name is Tom Jacobs, and I'm an astrologer, medium, and channel in Tucson, Arizona. Since you heard from me last, I relocated from Los Angeles to Tucson. On the web, you can find me at tdjacobs.com. I have a bunch of articles there, some original natal reports, and other episodes of this podcast. And a list of upcoming classes and workshops, including a number of teleworkshops or teleclasses via conference call technology over the next few months. So check those out. I'm doing one on Saturn and Libra, another one on family and karma, several monthly open question and answer periods, and then a two-part one on the nodes in January. And also in January, a two-part one on Pluto. So if you're interested in this style of astrology and this approach, this soul-based, karmic, and growth-oriented approach, lots of these classes are going to be really useful for you, so you should check them out. Oh, and this Saturday, November 14th, I'm doing one on the soul's journey, which has to do with reincarnation and karma and the multi-life journey that we're all on. It's not going to include a lot of astrology, but it will set the stage for future classes on karma and reincarnation that do involve astrology. And all the details for all of those classes, including this Saturday's, are on my website. So the first thing I have for you today is a listener question. Her name is Melanie. Her birth data are January 16th, 1978, Wichita, Kansas, at 9:35 a.m. And Melanie writes, "I feel like I'm on the verge of a massive transition, and one of the transitions is to a new job. What can I be doing or not doing to make it flow more, and what should I be paying attention to?" Now, Melanie asked this question, I feel I need to tell you, in June, long before I knew that I was going to take 4 or 5 months off from doing the podcast. So, you know, there's a synchronicity in when our questions get answered, so I'm just trusting that I'm going to answer the question via transits that are happening now instead of what was happening in June when she asked the question. Just kind of trusting the synchronicity that when I actually get around to answering the question, there's something good in there for her. The first part of my answer has to do with Pluto transiting Melanie's Mercury, Juno, and Capricorn, this conjunction. At the end of the 10th house, Juno's, you know, on the cusp of the 11th, so maybe we'd read them in both. So yeah, whenever Pluto's transiting the 10th house, there is going to be changes about work. What this really has to do with is the 10th house has to do with the way that we want to be seen publicly. You know, how we wish to, you know, express ambition in the world, how we make a place for ourselves outside the home. And the scale, if you've been listening to the podcast, this has probably come up before, but the scale varies a lot. 10th house living can, you know, is community, it is town, it's society, and it, you know, so the scale varies. So with Mercury Juno and Capricorn in the 10th, you know, one of the things that Melanie's interested in, her Mercury, is picking something that she likes to do and committing to it and developing it for the long haul. And really, you know, getting down to the nuts and bolts of things in order to, well, it's about achievement and ambition, but it's really about developing competency. And it's about being able to respect yourself for all the hard, long work that you put into something that you're passionate about. So, you know, without looking at everything else in her chart, that's just kind of the basic idea on this Mercury, Juno, and Capricorn in the 10th. So when Pluto comes around by transit, Pluto says, whatever's happening, you have to go below the surface to find out why you're doing it, and you have to let go of anything that isn't authentic, that is not authentic. You have to let me bring my bulldozer in and raise anything that doesn't work. So, you know, one of the ways to talk about this, Melanie, is, you know, what do you think your place in society should be? You know, what are you willing to give? What kind of respect do you expect to get for what you do, or what do you want? So Pluto's going to be asking these questions and essentially trying to get you to change your mind about any of those motivations for how you use work or appear or show up in public that might not reflect who you really are. So this Pluto in Capricorn, there's like this phrase that keeps coming to me is "Who's your daddy?" Right? Because Capricorn's about, Capricorn in the 10th house actually are about the Saturnian work ethic and maturity and responsibility and discipline and authority, which we get from father figures, whether, I mean, strong parental figures of either gender, but, it's easy to think of father figures, the way that we've been conditioned over time. So, what is it that you expect? Are there mod This is actually going to be a big part of this, who's your daddy part. Who do you model your public self after? This is going to be a question, is anything about that modeling not fitting you? Do you have to reinvent? That's a Pluto word, because when Pluto brings a bulldozer in and takes the house down, something else needs to get built in its place. What are you doing in public? What do you think about it? What do you think it's getting you? Where did you get the idea? After whom did you model how you do this? These are the Pluto's questions. The transit overall, Mercury's at 3, Juno's at 5. So it's going to be overall probably an over 3-year process. You're probably close to the middle of it. But those are some of the questions. So, as far as real world work, everything that won't work for you needs to go. And what you need to do is stay open to creative opportunities that allow you to head in new directions based in the answers to all those, am I really being authentic, and where did I get this idea of what I'm doing from? Allow new opportunities to come up, be open to that idea. This is about your competency and about your authority. So it may seem at times as though you are in some way powerless about that, I guess you could say, public persona or the way that you show up publicly. And in all the ways that you hit your head up against a brick wall in doing work stuff right now, understand that you're supposed to see into your beliefs and attitudes, how you arrived at what you do, in order to make changes at the most fundamental levels. Second part of the answer has to do with the same exact transiting Pluto trining natal Chiron moon in Taurus, early Taurus in the second house. So natally speaking, Chiron moon in Taurus in the second says, in order to be happy, which is moon, I need to accept the ways that my unique skill set sets me apart, Chiron. And you need to, so this is all about self-esteem. This is all about self-acceptance. It is about creativity with the moon in Taurus and the second house. It is about creativity, but it's a lot about accepting the ways that you're different. Chironic sensitivity leads us to sense the emotional stuff of other people. And so wherever it shows up in the chart, we have this trigger. We have this thing that says, oh, I can see myself in relation to other people, and I can see how they're unique, and I can see how they're special. And then you can kind of turn that around sometimes and doubt your own uniqueness, your own specialness, or at least that you have positive value. So Pluto trining, it says, there's stuff that's happening in the world relative to this Mercury, relative to who you show up as in public, that wants to boost, which is the trine from the transiting Pluto, this your sense of self-worth and willingness to share your creative self. So that's the second part of the answer. The second house, we think it's about money. It's really about self-reliance. It's really behind that about our resources and skills. It's really behind that about survival. So it does translate into money, but to get there, you have to learn things, you have to use them, you have to turn them into money, you have to have connections with people in order to, put these skills to work and find the right avenues to do that. So that's the second part of the answer. And then the next part of the answer is transiting Saturn, where it's in your seventh house. It just went into Libra in general, but it's in your seventh house. But soon, it's going to conjunct your Libra North Node in the seventh, which is conjunct your Pluto in Libra at the very end of the seventh, on the cusp of the eighth house. So this is kind of a looking ahead thing. So given what I just said to you about this Pluto trining the Mercury Juno and trining the Chiron Moon, and by the way, it's also trining your Saturn and retrograde Saturn in the sixth, which does have to do with work and duty and responsibility. But the last part of the answer is this Saturn. When it comes to our north nodes, what it does is it opposes our comfort zones and our habits. And when something's transiting our north nodes, there's an invitation to focus on what we haven't done a lot of in other lives or this life. The south node is always our comfort zone, what we're familiar with. The north node, the opposite, is always what we're not that familiar with, and we might even have a lot of ideas about what it would mean to do that, and so we tend to avoid it. Essentially, prejudices, which are just, making assumptions about what the other is like. So, in your case, your south node is Aries in the first house. Relative to a work question, you're used to being on your own. You're very good at responding to needs of the moment decisively. This is a, you know, this is an indication of comfort to some degree with leadership, etc. But even leadership of yourself, just making decisions for yourself. But this North Node in the seventh house in Libra says, I really need to learn how to work with other people. I need to learn how to listen to other people and take their needs into account. But I also need to make sure that I'm equally represented in my relationships. So you're learning about fairness, harmony, equality, and balance through relationship. That's like one of your karmic growth things. And with Pluto conjuncted, it says that in other lives and in various lives, you haven't gotten to essentially steer your own relationship boat. Pluto is a lot about empowerment at the soul level. It's our soul's deepest wounding, but it's also our soul's deepest intentions and desires. So as Saturn comes up to this, Saturn is the taskmaster. Saturn is the planet of structure and discipline. Saturn is going to ask you to roll up your sleeves and figure out in what ways you aren't either sharing with others or you aren't listening to others. Relative to work, the seventh house and Libra do have to do with business and work. This is where we have one-on-one relationships with people. So Saturn's coming here to ask you to learn more about fairness and harmony, and it is work, and it does, conflict with your comfort zone. So you're supposed to be learning more now. So this is going to be active over the next probably year and a half or so. And the basic thing is this planet of work and responsibility and duty and structure. Structure is actually a big part of it. Because the answer to the what am I not doing in relationship, that I should be, Saturn wants you to take some time, sit down, and introduce new structures in order to better serve the relationships that you're currently in, and also kind of open the door for more kinds of relationships that, or better kinds of relationships, ones that really do take into account each person. So that's the answer to the question, the transition of work. When you ask me a question about work, I'll always go behind it and see what the thing is happening behind it. So it's a little serpentine, this answer I provided you, but I hope that it's helpful for you. And thank you for writing in with your question. If you have a question you'd like to ask me, send it to karma@tdjacobs.com, and send your first name, and you can use a fake one if you want. I don't care. I'm fine with anonymity. And also your question, a sentence or a paragraph or two, and I'll spend 10 to 15 minutes answering it. Oh, also your complete birth data, so day, month, year, time of day, and location. And the second part of the program, this episode, I wanted to talk about something that I've been thinking about for a while, since the, wow, I guess it's about a year and a half, I don't know, since Hillary Rodham Clinton became a candidate for presidency and we all started talking about her and thinking about her and listening to what she had to say. And I started looking at her chart and I keep finding around 8, around 8 a.m. is her birth time, but the rating isn't good, so I'm not going to use a birth time. I'm just going to look at her chart. And I just want to talk about her nodal structure because it's a good example of karma. It's a good example, especially since she's so well known. We know so much about her public life and even to some degree her private life. But so I want to talk about her nodal structure. So her south node of the moon is in Scorpio, and it's conjunct Jupiter in Sagittarius, Mercury and Venus in Scorpio. And then Venus is conjunct Chiron in Scorpio, but it's not really an orb of the node. But this speaks to a karmic past of Scorpio. This speaks to a karmic past of intensity and drama and secrets and lots of kinds of things. And with Mercury Venus there, that speaks to really being a great communicator, looking at what people need. Venus there is other people, so she comes in with this conditioning about how to listen to other people. The Mercury is retrograde, which says that she has to find her own way of communicating and not just do what everybody else is doing. And to be frank with you, I'm not sure that, in my impression anyway, I'm not sure that she's done that because she does play that political game, and use all the rhetoric in the same exact way because she's within this great big system. What I really want to talk about though is the squares to the nodes. Saturn, Pluto, Mars, and the asteroid Arjun Suri in Leo. All four of these in Leo. And so with the south node in Scorpio, whether you look at the south node ruler as Mars or Pluto, and I tend to go back and forth and just kind of trust my gut on it. Talking about her, the south node will be where she's coming from, and the south node ruler, whether it's Mars or Pluto, has to do with her role, how she shows up in that environment. So she's coming from a Scorpio place and she's showing up as a Leo type person. And the Mars and Pluto are in the same degree. They're in the 15th degree. They're both at 14, 14 Leo. So squares to the nodes are always unresolved issues, things that we need to learn to make new choices about. And what I've been doing over the last maybe year and a half, 2 years, is looking at what we believe as the basis of the karma. So things happen to us, and then we ascribe meaning to them, and then because of the meaning, because we are invested in that meaning, we believe something means this, then we will perpetuate one scenario, different kinds of scenarios over others. So one of the things I work with my clients is, well, when they're hitting their heads up against walls, is, well, what do you think it means about you that you can or can't achieve whatever you're talking about? It's this meaning, which is the key to the whole thing. So for her, she's got all this stuff in Leo, which has to do with personal expression, creativity, being recognized as an individual, and being heard, being allowed to shine, essentially. So Pluto is the deepest desires and intentions of the soul. Mars is will and assertion and drive. Arjun Suri is our relationship to conscience and, the process we go through to develop a relationship to conscience, which has to do with, figuring out the right people to ask our most important questions. Do we go to others or do we go to ourselves? Do we trust our inner voice? That kind of thing. And then Saturn, the discipline, authority, maturity, structure function. So all these things together in Leo square the nodes. So she has to make new choices about how she's empowered, how she goes about being empowered. And one of the things that's come through for me as I've thought about her chart over the last year, year and a half, is that when she doesn't win, because one of the things about Leo, the shining thing, is it seems to us that one person gets to win. Lots of zero-sum games, especially in politics, it's you or the other person. So if you lose an election, for example, for her karmically, what does it mean about her to ask this question and to change her mind from the past is karmic growth and karmic healing. And the reason I'm sharing with this with you is I really think she did that. She did not win the nomination, but when she was, but her reaction, because she was such so in the public eye, she had to temper her reaction. And I think in different lives, she or the soul that that she's attached to, her soul, is trying to figure out the right reaction, trying to figure out the right level of responsibility to accept. So if you go out and you ruffle a lot of feathers and then people don't elect you, or just that what you're having to say doesn't really speak to people or doesn't speak to people enough to push you over that line, what do you think it means about you? I think in various lives, she has thought that she's misused her will. This is Pluto Mars, that she didn't do things for the right reasons. Or didn't trust herself for doing things with the right reasons, the Arjun Suri, and also wasn't mature or structured or disciplined or something enough, which is this Saturn. And it's all about expression. It's all about personal expression. It's all about shining. Her soul's mission is to learn how to shine and to use all these energies, in ways that teach her about life. So in various lives, she's a horrible loser. And in other lives, she's a great loser. And I think in this life, I was also thinking about, the healthcare reforms that were happening or that were up on the table during the Clinton years, and how she was kind of the engineer, the architect behind them, and all of the backlash that came from that. And essentially, after that, in some ways, she got quiet politically. And so that's a reflection of this karma as well. So after not getting the nomination, but then getting, and then after Obama was elected, getting a seat in the cabinet, she has a chance to make a difference. She has a chance to shine. But the phrase that kept coming through to me when I thought about her is that, that this idea of I didn't get to be the one. The one. This Pluto in Leo wants to be the one, and so I just wanted to talk about that for a few minutes and just kind of give you that perspective. And from my vantage point, obviously not knowing her, but just kind of observing her career for a few decades now, she's a good example of that kind of karmic growth and responding to situations with new things. So that's the end of episode 12 of Unraveling Karma. Again, my name is Tom Jacobs. I'm on the web at tdjacobs.com. And if you have a question you want me to answer, looking at some issue in your life and looking at it from the karmic angle and how to understand the bigger picture and then how to make changes, write me at karma@tdjacobs.com. Thanks for listening.